Thank you very much. Hello, Iowa. Good to see you all. Come here, Jill. I'm Jill Biden's husband. Folks, I know I got 5 minutes. I'm going to be very brief and quick with you. I'm running for three reasons, and I've said it from the beginning. One, we have to restore the soul of this country. When we saw coming out of Charlottesville that hate and that venom that we saw, and then the president saying, when asked about the groups that met him as well as the young woman when she was killed, what did he think about it? He said there were very fine people in both groups. Very fine people. No president, sitting president, has ever said something like that. And the only thing that's happened is it's gotten worse. The way there's an attempt to divide us in a way that, in fact, is totally contrary to who we are. We really are in a fight to restore the soul of this country. We've led the world in the past because not just that we're the most powerful nation in the world, but it's been the exercise of our power, it's been the power of our example. And around the rest of the world, we're losing that kind of influence in the world. And it's very damaging, both at home and abroad. The second reason I'm running, and I've said at the outset, is I want to restore the backbone of this country. The backbone of this country is the middle class. The middle class built this country. Wall Street did not build this country. And the middle class made it possible for working class people to make a way up, the poor to have a road up. And when the middle class does well, everybody does well. The poor do well, the wealthy do well, and the middle class is the thing that the glue that holds us together. But it's falling apart right now. We're no longer the wealthiest middle class in the world. We're in a situation where you have a significant portion, over 50% of them, saying that their children will never have the life that they had. My dad used to have an expression. He'd say, you know, Joe, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about your place in the community.
Did it again.
How can you, in fact, have dignity? How can you, in fact, have this notion of being able to look your kid in the eye and say everything's going to be okay if you don't have adequate health care? What do you do when you turn and you look at a child and has a pre-existing condition and there's nothing you can do about it? Or when your child or someone you love has a terminal disease and come, like my son did, and come along. I can't imagine what it would have been like watching him and his coming home from Iraq with an incurable disease, given months to live, if an insurance company would be able to come in and say, by the way, your time's up, suffer in peace the last 4 months. It's about being able to have an education for your child that you know they need and you know they have an opportunity for. That's why I think we should be out there and we can afford it, tripling the amount of money we spend on what's called Title I schools, raising salaries for teachers, making sure that we deal really early on with all those crises. We know if we send kids to school at 3, 4, and 5 years old, they have exponentially greater prospects of succeeding. Every study has demonstrated that. We also know we need teachers. My wife is a full-time teacher, taught all during being when we were vice president. The fact of the matter is we're in a situation now where there for every psychologist in the school system, there are 1,700 kids. What are we doing? What are we doing? We can afford to change this if we just get rid of some of this god-awful tax cut that was passed. The idea that we're in a position that we have $1,600,000,000,000 worth of loopholes in the law. You can't possibly justify $400 to $500 billion of that. I can make sure that every single solitary person in the country has adequate health insurance. Build on Obamacare. Make sure it has a public option. Increase the prospect of how we're going to lower drug price. Time to go in unless you ask me about it. How much time do I have left? How much? 15 seconds? Oh, to speak? Oh! Y'all are in real trouble then, man. That's a bad thing to tell me I got more time to speak. But look, folks, the idea that we can't gain control and give people a fighting chance is simply not correct. There used to be a basic bargain in America. And Republicans and Democrats agreed on it. We disagreed on the extent of it, but we agreed on it beginning after the end of the Roosevelt administration. And that is, if you contribute it to the well-being of the company you work with or the outfit you work with, you got to share in the benefits. And if it went well, you did well. That's no longer the case anymore. We've adopted a position in America that says the only people who reward, entitled to rewards, are stockholders, because they're the only job creators. They've adopted this notion that the only people who are engaged in and able to get the rewards that corporations make are, in fact, the people who are the stockholders, because they're the job creators. Well, I noticed the folks delivering the grain to the mill, they are job creators. I noticed the people who make the automobiles, they create jobs. I noticed the people who build this country, are ordinary, raw, hardworking people who've been given half a chance. And folks, the idea that we don't reward work as much as wealth is bizarre. We're in a situation where you have the top 1%, in fact, paying a lower tax rate than you do because it's mostly capital gains, than more than a teacher, a firefighter, a cop. It's ridiculous. We should be rewarding work, not just wealth. We should be raising the corporate tax rate. So, folks, this is all within our capacity to do this. It's all within our capacity. We are so much money, so much in taxes, tax breaks for people who don't need them. And by the way, the wealthy know they don't need them. They're not bad people, but they don't need another tax cut. If you're making more than $10 million, man, I'm not your guy. You don't need a tax cut, and you know it. But people who need a tax cut are the people we make sure we can provide for free community college. We're in a situation where we can put every single solitary person who, in fact, is eligible, qualifies, and those people who have lost their jobs in their 50s because of automation go back to be retrained. We can do that all for about $6 billion a year. Eliminate one single little thing. It's called stepped-up basis. I didn't know what it was because I used to be listed as the poorest man in the Congress. I didn't understand it. What happened was, if you have a capital gain, you're about to cash it in, you get hit by a truck, God forbid, you leave it to your son or daughter, they pay no tax. That costs the government $17 billion a year out of $1.6 trillion. Eliminate that one tax, I can do it. Put every single qualified person in community college for free and or trade school, cutting in half the cost of college. There's so many opportunities we have to change things in this country. Folks, in addition to that, you know, I love the fact that there is no global warming. You all know that out here in Iowa. You know it doesn't exist. I heard a farmer today on the TV who's a Republican say, well, I don't think it's caused by humans, but I have a problem. I have a problem. Well, there's a big problem. If we don't provide for people being able to drink clean water, being able to be in a position where they, in fact, can breathe clean air, we deprive them of their basic fundamental rights. First thing I would do as President of the United States, I'd rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which I helped put together. But one other thing people don't know about that accord, it calls for what we negotiated. It requires those 190-some nations to up the ante every 2 years. Folks, we are responsible for 15% of global warming. The rest of the world is at 85%. We do everything perfectly, and they don't get on the stick, then we're all still in trouble. So, folks, I know how to deal with these world leaders. I know mostly every one of them. I've dealt with them. I know how to get it done, bring them back together again, because this is the existential threat to the United States, to the world, and it's real. And it's not just 11 years. We got about 10 years before we lose the opportunity to stop the erosion that's occurring now. It's real. And so, folks, we can make, but here's the deal. You saw what you did with wind. I remember out here early on at a state fair 10 years ago, 12 years ago, talking about wind and how do you provide for energy from wind. Well, guess what? A lot of people out here didn't think it was a good idea, and then you started doing it, created 10,000 new jobs, didn't cause any cancer, as the president says, generated growth. Well, folks, we can invest, we will invest $44 billion in research and development for new technologies that deal with sequestering of carbon. You farmers out here can have an entire new life. They can be the first group of Americans to actually get carbon-free environment that they generate. And so, but in the process, if we do this, we'll create 10 million new jobs. And it's real. If we invest in research and development and technologies that are the technology of the future, We should become the net exporters of this capability and technology. We have the potential to do that. We underestimate our capacity so, so badly. And ladies and gentlemen, and you can go back to healthcare. We can control drug prices. My proposal is, and I ran the what they call the moonshot, dealing with cancer. And subsequent after that, set up the Biden Cancer Initiative. And here's the point. We're on the verge of solving so many chronic diseases. It's within our capacity to do it. But we have to actually go out and we have to fund it. For example, now, those of you who've been in the Defense Department, those of you who've been in the military, know there's an outfit called DARPA. It's the thing that allows the military to do advanced research and everything from stealth technology, the internet, and all those other things. And they've done it, and they've invested because they brought the best minds in the world in to deal with the problems the military faces. We should be doing the same thing with healthcare. We should set up the same operation, a HARPA, meaning healthcare advanced research and development. We put that in. Guess what? If we don't do something about the disease of Alzheimer's, which in fact is every single solitary bed in the United States of America in a hospital will be filled with an Alzheimer's patient within 20 years. No drug company is going to make that kind of investment that it takes, but we should be investing the billions of dollars we can, just like we did in the Defense Department, to deal with that, obesity, deal with all the chronic diseases that are out there. We have the capacity to break through. We can now do a million billion calculations per second. We are so far advanced that we're just keeping our head in the sand. We should be investing in that, not investing in more tax cuts for the very wealthy. Lastly, I'd say the third reason I'm running, because I want to get to your crescents, is to unite the country. Folks, I'm told by some of my colleagues that you can't unite the country, that Biden, on one side, they make, well, Biden's kind of been around too long. The other side is Biden's naive. Well, I don't know. I've been around a long time. You'd think being around a long time, you'd learn a little something, you know? And the thing I've learned is that the American people, after 3 years already of this guy, have decided that a lot of what he's talking about is hokum. Look what happened this last election in 2018 around the country. I went into over 24 states and over 69 candidates. And I went into those purple states and those red states as well. And in those states, we won back 41 seats, beating Republicans. Why we did it, by the way, not all Republicans. I want to represent everybody. But here's the deal. The fact of the matter is, we ran on health care. It wasn't until they started taking away health care everybody realized how important it was that you're able to cover pre-existing conditions. 20 million more people, over 100,000 people who, in fact, were able to get coverage because of pre-existing conditions. And so we go on and on. What the proposal is, we're able to go out and make sure that everybody is protected by building on Obamacare, restoring the historic deal that we did. In addition to that, adding a Medicare-like option to it so you can buy into that if you wish to do it. Every single, but you're able to keep, if you like your employer-based policy, you can keep that policy as long as they keep the policy. And so the folks of the matter is, it costs a lot of money. It cost about $740 billion over 10 years. Well, guess what? It doesn't cost $30 trillion. $30 trillion is the other plans cost, which are going to raise middle-class taxes. Bernie's honest enough to tell you that. They're going to have to be a tax. They're going to have to be withholding tax on your from your paychecks. Folks, we can cover everybody, and we can do it in a way that allows people the choice that they want. If they don't like what they have, they can buy in. If they don't like what they have, they can buy in immediately. So, folks, look, in terms of unifying the country, you know, we've never lived up to it, but America has been an idea. It's the most unique idea in all the world, not a joke. There's not only thing that can defeat America is America. There's no army strong enough, no dictator powerful enough, no ocean wide enough that, in fact, can overcome what we're able to do. We can do whatever we want to do if we remember we can do it together. Folks, you know, the reason I did my last announcement in Philadelphia was to make a point that we are a nation that is unique. We hold these truths self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, endowed by their Creator. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, etc. We've never fully lived up to that. but we've never abandoned it before. We've never walked away from it. Jefferson, who wrote it, didn't live up to it. He had slaves. We've never fully lived, but every single generation, every generation has bent the arc more toward inclusion. Every generation. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're who we are. We are the most unique idea. It's an idea we cannot abandon. And folks, we are better prepared to own the 21st century than any nation in the world by a long shot. When I got elected as a 29-year-old kid to the Senate, I was labeled this young idealist. I was labeled this guy who, in fact, was optimistic. The fact of the matter is, I'm more optimistic today, with one exception, than I've ever been. If we get rid of Donald Trump, we have a clear path. A clear path. Folks, we have the most productive workers in the world. Our workers are three times as productive, as a matter of fact, as workers in Asia. We're in a situation where we have more great research universities in the United States than all the rest of the world combined. And every major change that's occurred in the last 20 years has come out of a research university. People think they're federal agents. They're not. You own them. You pay for them. They belong to you, the American people. Thirdly, we're in a position where we have the most agile venture capitalists in the world. We're in a position where we also have one of the best educated publics in the world if we, in fact, invest in them. And so, folks, look, there isn't anybody, there isn't any country in the world that can compete with us if we invest in our people, if we invest in who we are, if we remember who we are. There's not a single thing we've been unable to do. It's time, and this is my concluding comment to y'all, it's time to remember who in God's name we are. This is the United States of America. There's nothing we've ever decided to do we've been unable to do, period. And that's not hyperbole. We have never, never, never failed when we're together. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get up. Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. Even his supporters know who he is. We got to let them know who we are. We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks, if you're interested, join me. I could use the help, because we must defeat this president to change the trajectory of this country. Thank you all very, very much. I guess I take questions now, huh? Well, I'll talk. Don't let anybody know I didn't use all my time. I have a bad reputation of going over all the time. Yes, sir. Question. Do I go down here and give you a mic or?
No, I got two questions. When can I buy you an ice cream? And who is your favorite historical figure and who's not a president and why?
Well, I think maybe, yes, you can buy me another ice cream. I already had one. He said, can I buy you an ice cream? And who is my favorite historical figure? I think maybe my favorite historical figure is maybe there's a couple philosophers that I find that, in fact, understood about human nature better than most people. But in terms of political figures, I think that maybe my favorite political figure would, it's a tough call, but I would have to say it's those presidents and those people who gave America hope, made them believe in who they are. And I'd have to start off, I know you said not a president, I have to start off with Jefferson, even though he didn't live up to it. He's the guy that wrote that incredible document. And I'd have to say that there are a number of people who, in fact, have moved in a direction to provide us with the kind of hope and expectation about what we can do. My favorite line from John Kennedy's speech about going to the moon wasn't what most people remember. The one I remember the most is when he said, we're doing this because we refuse to postpone. I refuse to postpone any longer what we can do in this country. It's time to get the hell up and start to move. Yes, ma'am. The lady said, thank you for mentioning Alzheimer's. You know that it's already costing Americans $290 billion a year right now. What is my plan? My plan is to gather up, and I've met with most of the leading scientists in the country already. My plan is to set up a system whereby we actually go out and invest the kind of money, which we're talking billions of dollars in terms of the research, that no company, no drug company wants to or can do because they can't take the risk. And I'm tired of being told that we don't have a clear answer. We found clear answers. We used to think, for example, cancer was a single cell that, in fact, resided in different parts of the body. We now know there are 204 distinct types of cancer that require different kinds of therapies. The same kind of research has to take place dealing with Alzheimer's. And the reason is not just to help people who have or, in fact, are likely to get Alzheimer's, but it saves the American. It's a gigantic positive investment because we pay for it one way or another. And we can change the nature of how people, but it requires an absolute dedication to say, we are going to invest, we can do it, and it's going to take billions of dollars to do it, and we can afford to do it. We can't afford not to do it. Yes, ma'am. Question is, he said there's been a number of, my time's up.
Answer quickly,
30 seconds. The courts, he said, have turned very, very strong to the right. The point is, I will not appoint anyone to the court. If you notice, the people, when I presided over more Supreme Court hearings than anyone ever has, just because I was chairman for such a long time of that. The fact of the matter is, the people I'll put in the court are the people like a woman who worked for me, Elena Kagan. The people I've put on the court are people that we put on the court who, in fact, are the folks who understand there's a fundamental thing. Those are your lawyers. The question is, are there unenumerated rights in the Constitution? Fancy way of saying that, unless you acknowledge that there is a right of privacy in the Constitution, which most leading scholars agree, that, in fact, you will not be able to protect a woman's right to choose. You will not be able to protect all the things that we seem to care so much about. I will not appoint anyone to the court who does not share that basic philosophy. Thank you. I'll come and answer your question, okay? I'm not allowed to answer anymore. I'm going to get dragged off the stage. As my grandpa would say every time I left his house, he'd say, Joey, keep the faith. And my grandmother yelled, no, Joey, spread it. Go spread the faith.